We are continuing on in our series about spiritual formation, about the nuts and bolts of how to train ourselves to be like Jesus, to be an apprentice of Jesus. Last week we talked about our thoughts and about thinking and how much control we have over what we think about, what we bring to our minds, about what we give our attention to. Did anyone think about thinking any this week? Anyone, did that land anywhere? Anyone police your thoughts, or were you cognizant of what you were cognizant of? Huh? Anybody? Yeah? Anybody, any stories you want to share? Anybody? Give me an example. Good or bad? Chad? Yes, Mike? Thinking about sleep. Well, did anyone get any more sleep this week? Huh? Started to bring it. Oh, thank you. That's a vote of confidence. Yeah. Did anyone get any more sleep intentionally? Yeah, Chad did. How did that go? How did it feel?
It's better.
It's better? I know for me, I really illustrated my own point perfectly, but in the negative, because I've heard several things kind of work together and I didn't get as much sleep this week as I normally do. And at work, I have to deal with lots of different people from lots of different, you know, backgrounds and places in the country. And some of them are really difficult and hard to deal with and hard to talk to and hard to be around. You know, some of them are just difficult people. Some of them are just annoying. But in the end, there's like from different sides of the fence. Tough to deal with people on the contractor side, you know, and all of that stuff, and deal with people on the company side. You know, so it's lots of different people I have to deal with. And several things coalesced, and I didn't get as much sleep as I did. And when I went to work on those days, I was, you know, kind of a total jerk. I just found myself, you know, like we also talked about, like when someone talks bad about someone you both know, I found myself not really participating, but really, really wanting to participate and laughing along when they were talking about that person, you know, where normally I would just, you know, change the subject or, you know, pretend like I didn't hear. And I found myself being really, really, really annoyed with a couple of people, you know, where normally, yeah, I can let that go. You know, I can just move right on. But I'm just a different person, and you know, related back to getting this, you know, getting enough sleep. Right? That's important. Right? Okay. So, as far as that goes, no one has any other stories about their thinking.
You were in my head all week.
Well, you said whatever things are pure and lovely and honest, think on these things, right?
I just found that problems that aren't really all that big of a deal,
yeah,
more than I should.
Right.
And I caught myself doing that a lot. Uh-huh. So if I gave my attention more and I thought more about stuff that mattered more,
uh-huh,
then that would be productive.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I'm always thinking about stuff, trying to figure things out, but I just found myself thinking a lot about stuff that it's not really that big of a deal.
Right.
We're trying to come up with a solution for something that doesn't really matter.
Right. Perspective, yeah.
I tend to look down the road and worry about, mm-hmm, you know, future things. And I just reminded myself God's word says His grace is sufficient for this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just seems to
be. Try to be present in the day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. Good. Excellent. That's very good. Very good tip there. Awesome. Anybody else? We'll move on. Okay, like I said, if you weren't here last week, you wonder what were we talking about. We talked about thinking, you know, the different parts of yourself, of a self, of a person. You know, everybody thinks, you know, and you have control over what you think about and what you bring before your mind, and that's very important because it sets the stage for so much in your life. It sets the stage for how you make your decisions, and it sets the stage for your moods. And it's very much related to something else that everyone does. Everybody feels, right? Everyone has emotions. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how your emotions and how you're feeling, how that part of yourself relates to your spiritual formation, about your apprenticeship to Jesus. Because apprenticeship to Jesus isn't just about avoiding, you know, X, Y, and Z and doing A, B, and C. It's about becoming in your inner self, in your inner being. It's about becoming the same sort of person that Jesus was. All right? It's about transforming into the image of Christ. Okay? And emotions are so incredibly important. In our culture today, especially, is driven by emotions. What's this sentence? Complete this sentence. If it feels good,
do it.
All right. I think we all know. No, nobody really goes around saying that, do they? I think it's something that, like, church people say, that people in the world say. I don't know. Do they? Do we? I don't know if it feels good, but it seems to be. It might not be something that's like a mantra, but it's really something that in our culture is really how we live, right? And not just in terms of, you know, sexuality or lust, which is the first thing that comes to mind when you read this, or drugs or whatever, but just like we talked about before, about anger, about running down other people, slander feels really, really, really good to destroy other people. If it feels good, do it. And not all of those emotions that will drive you to take an action. You know, that person at work who's really annoying. He has some really bad character flaws. He really gets on everybody's nerves. It feels really good to gather around with your buddies and to talk about that person and run that person down and build yourself up at their expense. Feels good. And emotionally, you know, you're driven to do that. Should you do that? No. Not all of these emotions that you feel are valid. Be true to yourself. Yeah. Now, this one has just enough truth in it to be incredibly dangerous. Okay? Because what we're not trying to, when we say we're all trying to, you know, intending to transform into the images of Christ, it doesn't mean that we're all going to be exactly alike. And that's not the picture the Bible paints. We all are all particular parts of the body. We're all unique. We're all gifted in different ways. And we're all handcrafted by God to be different, unique, individual people. Right? So starting from that, you be true to yourself. It's true to that extent. Right? And that's good. You shouldn't have to feel like, you shouldn't feel like you have to change who you are, and shouldn't have to orient yourself around, you know, some other random person's idea of what you're supposed to be like, right? But the dangerous thing is that so many times yourself is the last thing you should be true to. Because while you are an individual handcrafted in the image of God, you're also imperfect and fallen. Right? And it takes discernment and honesty to recognize what parts of you are a part of your God-given uniqueness. You know, driving you to be different from the people around you. Or even the holiness of God driving you to be different from the people around you. And what is it that your fallenness is calling you to be different? Right? It takes discernment. Now this one, I don't know. This one's probably not quite as common. The heart wants what it... Well, maybe so. Great. Anybody know where this came from? Hannah? Oh! Nope. Emily Dickinson. Okay? But it was, the heart wants what it wants. But it was popularized by Hannah's favorite artist, Selena Gomez. I've got like 3 months of Hannah material saved up, okay? This Selena Gomez song. This is a modern fairy tale. No happy endings. No wind in our sails. Save your advice because I won't hear. You might be right, but I don't care. There's a million reasons why I should give you up. But the heart wants what it wants. How many lives, you know, I think more particular of women and girls, made their decisions like this? I know their relationship is destructive. I know he's terrible. There's a million reasons why that jerk shouldn't be in my life. The heart wants what it wants. The heart wants what it wants. I know he's horrible, but I'm in love. Yeah? Right? Right? The heart wants what it wants. In this case, is Miss Gomez making a decision? What is she using to base her decision on here? The modern fairy tale. She knows it's not going to end well. She knows there's no hope in this. This is not going to this is not going to end well. This is going to end in pain and tears. You shouldn't, don't want to listen to anybody else's advice. I don't want to hear it. There's a million reasons why I shouldn't be involved in this, this behavior and this relationship. I shouldn't be involved in this. But I don't care. Why? Because of how I feel. Because of my emotions. Right? Ms. Gomez is not talking. This is deep. This is true. Right? This is an observation of our culture, of how we make decisions based on our emotions. Right? But that was a few years ago. I didn't know this song existed until I was Googling for this. That's awesome. I mean, but this is how most of us heard about this line. Yeah. Who's this dude? Woody Allen. Okay. Yeah. Some of you. Yeah, this is dating us right, seriously right here. This is a division line. This is Woody Allen, right? And this is his significant other at the time in the late 80s, early 90s, Mia Farrow, right? This is, I think, no, this is Mia's biological child from a previous marriage. And these three children here, she had adopted. She ended up having a bunch of kids. And she, Mr. Allen, dated Ms. Farrow, like I said, in the late 80s, through the late 80s for several years there, in the early 90s. Eventually they had a child together. Okay? After they had that child, it was apparent that she discovered some nude photographs of this young lady that this man had taken. Okay? So you get the dynamic here, right? Well, ended up, of course, that relationship between these two collapsed, imploded, as it does when you are having an affair with your significant other's daughter, who's also the mother of one of your children. Okay. But the relationship between these two, I guess it worked out. You know, they got married. So, can you imagine? Can you think about the turmoil, like, for their biological daughter or son? I don't forget which it was. Their biological child. Is that healthy? No. Well, several years ago, there was an interview with Mr. Allen. He was just completely and utterly defended his actions. Would not admit even a little bit that this was wrong or even weird or unusual or out of the ordinary. Just wouldn't admit. No, it was perfectly fine for me to start an affair with the teenage adopted daughter of my significant other. Right? Just would not admit. At the end of the interview, just an exasperation. The heart wants what it wants. Heart wants what it wants. There's nothing I can do about it. It's okay because it's what we wanted. It's what we felt like doing. Our emotions drove us to this. Yeah. It is. Every emotion that we have, every feeling we have, is not valid. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 5, "But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what's Jesus saying here about your emotions of anger or of anger being slighted or offended? What did he say to do with those emotions? Did he say to act on those? When you're offended, should you be acting on that emotion? Should that drive you to take some sort of action or to say words? No. Just stop right there. Do not act on that emotion. Period. You see? Do not act on that emotion. If you're slighted, someone slaps you, someone steals something from you, if someone sues you and takes something from you, do not act on your natural emotions. The natural feelings are going to crop up. Do not act on those. So those emotions are not a valid basis for your actions. Okay? All right? And he goes through, you know, we're all familiar with the Sermon on the Mount that this comes from. He says the same sort of things about lust, right? Don't act on that. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. And so many of the problems we have, and so many of the emotions that we have are related to pride. In other words, just demanding our own way. It's just feeling this right within us. Just feeling that we should have our way in everything. And when we don't get our way, it is a travesty. It can't be, we can't have that. And so many times, some of these sins, these failures that we have are related to the fact that we want our way. Whether it be, in sexuality or greed or anger, we want our own way. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, he says, therefore I tell you later on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Another major emotion that we can have is fear. Right? We can be prideful. We can want our own way. We can want what we want. The heart wants what it wants. Therefore, let's get it. Or we can just be afraid. Or we can feel fear. He says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Don't let fear control you. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And recognize that these emotions are not valid. They don't belong. Do not let them control you. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Don't let fear control you. Instead, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and His goodness. So, are we to be, then, is God saying that we need to be like these Stoics who don't have any emotions, right? That's not a healthy life either. Well, think about those are the negative things that drive us. These emotions of pride or wanting our way, regardless of what the cost is to someone else, or regardless of whether it's healthy or not, or regardless if it's destructive or not, or of fear of these emotions of fear cropping up within us and causing alterations in who we are and what we do. What should we be feeling? Right? What emotions are valid? What emotions should we be working towards? I want to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Paul says this is the most feely book, I think, in the New Testament. And Paul is obviously very close to these believers in Philippi. Open up the book and says, I thank God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you, for all of you, with the affection of Christ Jesus. So Paul is not painting a picture of an unfeeling or an unemotional faith, an unemotional way of life. He says, I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus, or the bowels of Christ, the splagnon, as we talked about last week, the bowels were the seat of the emotions. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer. This is what I want. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best. And you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Does that not sound like a great life? What if our love abounded more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, and we were able to discern what is best in all areas of our life, and that we were pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus? How do you think you would feel emotionally if that was an accurate descriptor of our life? Huh? Yeah. Would it be a good way to feel? Would you feel good, or would you feel bad if this was your kind of life? Great, yeah. Be emotionally healthy or unhealthy? Very healthy. Sounds like a beautiful life. He continues on. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of yourselves of others as better than yourselves. And don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Is there any encouragement? Are you encouraged in your relationship with Christ? Are you comforted by His love? Do you fellowship together in the Spirit with those around you? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? If so, then love each other and work together with one mind and purpose. Does this seem emotionally healthy or unhealthy? Does this seem like a good life or a bad life? Do you think these people are generally happy or unhappy? I love this. This is a command. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again. Rejoice. Or celebrate. We are commanded to be full of joy. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. then you will experience God's peace, which begins with thankfulness, right? Leaning on God. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. When will peace, when will the God of peace be with us? When will we have peace? When we fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. So you think your emotions, to some extent, can flow out of what you choose to think about? We'll ask Tammy and Troy that question here in a minute. Are they going to come up and help me finish this thing out? So if pride and anger, if pride and fear are these emotions that we should be avoiding and that aren't valid, how do we, seeking a life of love and joy and peace, seeking and cultivating these conditions of love and will and peace is our goal. And by love, I mean to will the good of another. Not just to feel this certain way about a person, but to work for and to wish for the good of another person. And by joy, I don't mean happiness, which in itself is an emotion, or pleasure, which is an emotion. But joy is this pervasive sense, this condition, this pervasive sense of overall and ultimate well-being. That things are good. And that peace is the rest of will that results from assurance about how things will turn out. Things are going to turn out okay. Nothing can possibly happen to you as a follower of Christ that will not work out for your good. That will not work out for good. It may be absolutely horrible, but God is going to put the pieces together. The rest of will that results from assurance about how things will turn out. God is going to fix everything. Okay? So how do we do that? Because who has emotions? Yeah. No? Like four people didn't raise their hands. How do we work towards love and joy and peace? And how do we move away from being controlled, in one way or other by what we feel and what we think? To do that, for the next little bit, I'm going to get Toro and Tammy to come up here and they're going to talk to us for a while, okay? Troy Bice and his definitely literally better half, Tammy. Tammy and Troy, tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do. There might be a few people here who...
I'm an outpatient therapist. I see people with all kinds of issues and all kinds of age ranges. I just try to help them feel better and through talk therapy and play therapy. So.
And I do outpatient therapy as a part-time job, but my full-time job is actually a crisis counselor. So, and y'all are probably wondering what that really means. I see people when they're at their absolute worst. So I typically evaluate them in an emergency room, and that's usually the people I see are suicidal, homicidal, having significant psychosis or just significant depression or something like that. So I evaluate them, determine if they need psychiatric placement or not, and get that placement if they need it.
Okay, cool. Now, when I was talking earlier about our culture and the people around us being driven by emotions and making their decision based on emotions, do you think that's valid? Do you guys see that?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times when you come to counseling, it's because of you were thinking about yourself a lot in immediate gratification. So, and that's really what emotions drive from, because you want to feel better, you want to do this or that. So,
Absolutely. There's I don't see people because they're in this super positive mindset like they should be. A lot of negative thoughts and negative emotions, which I feel like are a lot easier to obtain, have really creeped in and kind of consumed them in some sort of way. So
they're easier to obtain. Is there anything physiologically do some people tend to trend towards more of the negative side emotionally than the positive side?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody's brain's different, right? And a lot, you know, we're all our brains are the same, but they're also different, okay? Just, and a lot of it comes down to genetics, right? So your brain produces certain chemicals, and they go into a receptor on your brain, and that makes you feel a certain way. So there's all these different chemicals, and, you know, and they're triggered by stimulus or the genetic stuff. So that kind of explains sometimes why you feel bad for no reason, right? There's no, you're not thinking negatively, you're not having all this bad stuff happen, you're just feeling bad, right? And your brain just naturally produces these, so.
Or if you're like me and you're moody.
You said it, not Troy.
Yeah.
I'm honest about it.
So if you have one of those brains that produce the bad chemicals or the negative chemicals, what's your hope?
Well, really, your brain's kind of like your body, and it's more like a template, right? So you can shape and mold it and do all that stuff. I'm usually, unless it's like this crazy genetic disorder that really inhibits your dysfunctioning, such as schizophrenia or something, then a lot of times, you know, you can change your thought patterns and how you view things to make yourself feel better and function regardless if you're producing more or less. So.
Okay. What are some concrete things or some tips that we can do to be more emotionally healthy or to move away from being controlled by our emotions?
So, I'm big on clients that I see, especially in counseling, outpatient counseling, about giving kind of like behavioral things to do. Because thinking about stuff and thinking, oh, I don't need to be so negative and blah, 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 that's very helpful. Doing some introspection, like, you know, really thinking about yourself and just digging deep inside your thoughts can be helpful, but a lot of times it actually can just lead you into more negative thinking, and it's kind of just like a spiral down. Once you start negative thinking and thinking about the negative things in your life, it's can be more consuming, I guess. So what I tell a lot of people to do is, like, I have a little girl in counseling who is super duper sweet. I love her, but she gets really angry really quickly, and she can get combative too.
There's a lot of transference here.
Hey, now. Might be why I like her so much. I don't know. But what I get her to do is remove herself from that stimulus. So when things are really heated with her brother or her family members or whatever, her task is just to remove herself from that current stimulus, go and we do like coping skills. So whether that's coloring or I get a lot of people to actually get on YouTube. You know, YouTube's just great sometimes, and do like videos on guided imagery or mindful meditation, things like that, that would just kind of like replace your thought patterns about what you're really angry about or upset about, and do something that's getting you away from that, just your overall thoughts, into something that's more positive and relaxing, and trying to remove those negative things going on.
Gotcha.
Emotions, feelings.
Right.
I guess the definition of a good coping skill is that it makes you change your thought pattern or get away from whatever that stimulus was, right? Because it if I'm like driving, that's not really a good coping skill because I can think about that stimulus still, right? So the kind of way I see how emotions play into that, so if your emotions are a baseline, right, Well, your initial stimulus usually causes the most drastic outlier from that baseline. So, like, you might spike or whatever, right? That's your tallest spike usually. So what happens when that stimulus goes away? Because that stimulus isn't going to be there always, right? So a lot of people don't think about internal stimulus, and that's your thought patterns and how they bring about different those different emotions. So that's really what's going to decide whether you carry that emotion or not, right? Is if because you can remain spiked and keep spiraling, right? Or you can think differently and try to get back to your baseline. And that goes for happiness too, you know? Like, I can be happy all of a sudden and then remove me from that stimulus and I don't sustain it. And that's because I'm not looking at it the right way, okay? That's like you're even keeled. I'm not, no stimulus is causing my emotions to change. So, you know, that's kind of if...
Give us an example of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because, you know, God says that he controls our environment, right? The only thing we control is internal. You know, we might be able to influence our external, right? But if it's the sole causality, on whether it happens or not, is God. And, you know, but we... God, just like Johnson was talking about, you know, we control those thought patterns after we're done. You know, he rests assured that we're going to be taken care of, right? But, you know, what happens whenever there's something in our life that makes us worry, you know, do we reassure ourselves or we just keep worrying and obsess about it? So, but it's... You want to kind of focus on that because I can tell you to change your environment and do all this stuff, but at the end of the day, God controls it. Okay, you know, obviously that doesn't mean like you should have a really bad environment purposefully, right? But you know, you got to rest assured that if he wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And if he don't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. He knows what's best for you. And we spend like 99% of our time trying to control things outside of us. That's probably where I spend most of my energy. Well, like way, way most. And then the other 1% I think about internal and how I can help myself. So, and it needs to probably be the opposite. So
what's a, what you've mentioned anxiety and worry. What would be some coping skills or some steps that we could take to reduce how much worry controls our life or how much we worry?
So, again, I really like to get people to do things that are kind of behavioral in a way. Mm-hmm. So, if everybody's different, everybody will have a different, like, coping skill or a thing that works for them to reduce some of that worrying. But, you know, for me, what I've found, and this is just, this is kind of a personal thing, I used to be really, really bad about worrying about trying to control everything, and I have, you know, I still, we all struggle, we're all humans, and we're going to have that, but keeping God in the forefront, having time to, like, read my Bible study, being here in church is really helpful, and doing these things that are constantly... bringing that positivity and that light into my life is helpful. So, and then for some people, it could just be doing things that are just reducing the anxiety and just trying to become even keel. So again, mindful meditation or I really like guided imagery videos. So I don't know if y'all can remember that or not, but guided imagery is a huge, I just love it. I learned this when I was in an internship. And so there's usually this lady, it's usually a lady, I don't know, they just have a more relaxing voice, I guess, I don't know. But they guide you through like a setting. So, you know, sometimes you're on a beach and you get in a relaxed position wherever you're at. And it'll explain, you know, you're on a beach and there is, you can hear the waves and you can feel the sun on your skin and you're feeling the warmth come up your from your toes to your kneecaps. And it just like breaks down every little step. And every time I listen to one of those, I mean, I'm thinking about nothing else but following this lady in my mind and what's happening. And I can actually feel the sensations. I can feel the warmth on my legs and things like that. So that's another thing that I really like to just... kind of when tensions are high or my anxiety is high or my anger is really bad, that's one of those things I can do and just kind of get away and calm myself back down.
Cool. I think the biggest thing, too, is you just don't want to, like, ride these emotions and be on this roller coaster, because you have to be proactive in changing this. Like, you can't just be like, well, because there's sometimes, like, people are depressed for a reason. You know, they have all this stimulus and stuff, and they have a terrible environment. But, you know, you have to be proactive in finding ways to fix it, because I don't really think about my emotions and how I can fix them very often. So... and, like, you know, some people are different, too. Like, a coping skill is always an evolution. Guided imagery is probably going to get old eventually, right? I mean, I hope it doesn't. Like, I'm really into yoga right now, but it's probably not going to last forever, right? So, and so certain people are different, you know. So, it definitely is always an evolution. So.
What about the people you're around? I mean, it seems like emotions are almost contagious sometimes. What about the people you're with, you choose to be with?
Oh, yeah, it is, definitely. I'm like telling Chad. He was real negative yesterday about turkey hunting. For real. He's like, we ain't never going to see one. If we do see one, I'm going to miss it. You know? So, I was trying to be contagiously positive, you know, but it wasn't working. So... it is very contagious. So, you know, laughter is contagious. I'm going to tell y'all a funny story, because if I feel like if I don't, my wife's going to tell it.
So
yesterday, I planned all week. I said, I'm going to take Wilder and we're going to get some Mother's Day stuff that he can pick out, right? And it was kind of chaotic because it was just me and him, and, you know, he's, like, wanting to run everywhere. So he picked out some flowers for Tammy and a horse card, and so we went to go get something for my mom, right? And he picked out the same horse card, but...
he loves horses.
Yeah. So we're going through the flowers, you know, and he picks out these flowers, and I said, well, you know, it's great... that, you know, he got some, like, graveside flowers for my mom, but, like, the problem is she's not dead, so I didn't realize that. So that's what my mom's getting this afternoon. But, yeah, so I hope she's not, like, I thought they could go in your yard, you know, but, it's okay. I have a lot of jokes today. I'm trying not to embarrass my wife. Like,
go for it, man.
I don't want y'all to worry about Selena. She wrote that about me. And she's a good dog. You know?
Oh, gosh.
See? You can, like, get in a good mood whenever you just, like, are playful and, you know, and anger's contagious because, like, one person goes one level, and I'm going to try to up them, right? Because, you know, we're wanting to, like, intimidate each other so one stops, right? And it just keeps going up and up. Kind of like horseplay almost. You know, like, one person gets their feelings hurt or lands wrong on something. Well, they're going to try to do something worse next. And what, they just get in a fist fight at the end. So, you know, it definitely is contagious. So. Yeah, worry. Yeah, because, you know, it's... if I'm worried about bills, well, that probably makes Tammy even more worried, right? If I'm, like, calm and reserved about him, she might think, well, he must have it figured out, so...
He has money stashed somewhere.
All right. Anybody else have any quick questions? Yeah.
Ask, do you have... I know not all of your clients are believers, but do you have...
Scripture passages or concepts that you keep coming back to, and, like, even in your own lives, if you're feeling down or confused or worried about something, things that help you stay keeping healed? Well, you know, we're not allowed to really bring up religion in counseling, right? I'm not a Christian counselor. But the good thing is, like, all this stuff that was discovered by psychologists, God already wrote about it. Like, he had it figured out, right? So, you know, he's the reinforcement and how he talks about things, like, you know, he had that in the Bible forever. We're just now catching on. So it is still sound practices when I talk about Christian principles, right? I just don't have to label them Christian. So,
I think for me, honestly, I just, you know, focusing on my job as a Christian is to put my faith in him. And so when I am to the edge and I feel like I just can't continue to carry some of the anxiety or worry, which I've had a lot lately with my job, actually. So I've had to just be like, okay, God, I cannot worry about this anymore. I'm giving this to you. I'm going to take it completely off of me and give it to you. And honestly, he has never failed me, ever. And it's, you know, something has always worked out in the end. So just reminding myself, hey, he did this last time. He's going to do it this time. And I'm going to give this to him. So that's kind of how I deal with a lot of stuff. You know, I get to a certain point. Sometimes I don't do it quick enough. I probably should. But that's been a really big thing for me.
Anybody else, real quick? Anything else you guys want to say? Troy?
You run into a lot of people who, again, you talked about them feeling bad for no reason. I mean, do they feel...
Oh, yeah. People get depressed about being depressed. So, emotional and rational don't go together. Yeah, so don't ever think, like, if I'm emotional, I'm going to make, like, real rational thought patterns or decisions. Like, it's probably not going to happen, okay? Even keeled and rational go together, but, you know, we make dumb decisions, right? So, if you're real depressed, it's hard to get out of that and think differently, right? So,
and I just want to say this, you know, because sometimes people, I guess, are like, oh, wow, really? It is not a bad thing if you do get to a point where you need to go see somebody to be guided kind of through these emotions. Absolutely. And feelings. This is a goal. Like, I have been in counseling and I am a counselor. Mm-hmm. So I've had to do that before. I've came to a point in my life where I had a whole lot of stuff going on and I could not deal with it, and I needed some just guidance on how to deal with it. This was before I became a counselor. But, you know, the goal is to do an outpatient sort of setting and hopefully not have to come in front of me. But if you do, you know, that's okay. We get you taken care of. But
yeah, I mean, people don't feel guilty for going to the hospital and they break their leg. You know, they shouldn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
They have something emotionally that they're having trouble dealing with.
Yeah, it's not,
you know, your emotions are just as big a part of you as your body.
And you should feel a certain way sometimes. Like, God wants you to feel. I mean, that's why he's got them. You know, you should feel sad if, like, your dog dies or something. Or, you know, you should be angry at certain times. It's more about, did you overreact or underreact? Because, you know, if I have somebody that, like, never gets angry, I'm going to be real worried about them because that's not healthy. So don't ever feel guilty because you have this emotion. You want to more look at it like, was that the right thing to have, and how did I go about fixing it?
And honestly, emotions are it's an opportunity for growth is how I look at it. Those times in my life where I've came to, you know, I'm not really an anxious person most of the time, but I had kind of bad postpartum anxiety, and in a way it was a really good thing that I dealt with that because it makes me a better counselor. I can understand what it's like to feel that way now. So it was really an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for me to overcome it and come through on the other side. So emotions are
and she probably had like a normal reaction, you know. I mean, society, don't let society deem what you think is normal based off your mental health. Like, society doesn't want you to think you should ever get anxious or whatever, or angry. I don't measure progress that way. I tell kids not to measure it that way. We're looking more like, were you appropriate for your environment? So, you know, if I have a kid that said, well, I did really well, I didn't get angry any this week, then he didn't really get the concept, right? He's like, I did well, and this is why. Because I had this happen to me, and I got angry, but I dealt with it and fixed it. So, but, like, in Tammy's case, I mean, people can say what they want, but like the first 3 months can not be fun sometimes, right? So like that's a normal reaction. Like it was anxiety. We didn't sleep any, and she's out of work for so long, and you know you got all this stuff, college. Holidays and college. Like it'd be kind of weird if she wasn't anxious. So
cool. All right.
So the measure is choices that you make.
Right, right. It's not like, it's not more of like, I'm not measuring my environment, right? Because we don't control our environment. And that's what we would be doing if you said, I never got angry or I never got depressed or whatever, right? That, we're not measuring that part. We're measuring ourselves. So.
Just whether those emotions were appropriate to what you're experiencing, but also whether or not they controlled your behavior.
Right, yeah, way. That's what we want to focus on. Because, I mean, you should, again, don't feel bad for feeling a certain way. So.
But it is good to strive for positivity and, you know, do those little things that help you get there so that you can't, I mean, being in a positive mindset helps you be more in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, in that
it's
mindset.
Hard to do that when you're feeling negative. So sometimes we just got to do things to help get us there.
Yeah, those thought patterns are releasing those chemicals, right? I mean, you're feeling better because you're thinking differently. Like, it's not, there is science behind it. It's not like this feel good, like, crazy concept. You know, those thought patterns do change what chemicals are released and why you feel a certain way, right? So.
And it just kind of brings you down.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was having a good day.
Yeah, you got to persevere like I did yesterday turkey hunting.
Usually my mom doesn't think myself.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. My wife's good at that one.
All right. Any last words? Thank you, guys.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, you know what he told me, though?
Well,
he told me, you know, a lot of it went back to parenting. Hopefully, y'all didn't witness domestic violence today, so I think it went pretty well.
Thank you, guys. All right, so as we move forward this week, I just want all of us to be cognizant of our emotions and making sure that we're not making decisions based on those in a negative way. And like Troy said, that we're exercising our, number one, that we're exercising our ability to control our thoughts to help with those emotions. And like Tammy said, if you know, we need to find something else to do with ourselves, with our bodies, and with our minds, you know, to avoid being in that, you know, negative place with our emotions. What we want to avoid is our emotional side keeping us from being like Christ. And as we, you know, seek to as we seek to be like Christ, we realize that this is our goal, love and joy and peace. This is the best possible way to live. You can't imagine a more beautiful way to live. And as we love, God loves, you know, the kind of the cycle of love is that God loves us first. And so we love Him back. And as we love Him back, we love other people. Then other people are loving us too. It's this vicious cycle. Of, you know, love. And as we're engaging in loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we're loving the people around us, His people, and those people are pouring themselves into us too, you can't help but to find joy and peace. Right? Let's be intentional about that. Let's be intentional about what we feel this week. And we'll close with Philippians 2. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, because none of us have. You know, like Tammy said, you know, she's a therapist, but, you know, she still deals with some of these same issues. And we all know Troy's not perfect. But we haven't reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I press on. This is what I want. This is what I'm intentional about. This is what I'm working towards. I want this. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. Forgetting the mistakes I've made in the past. Forgetting the ways I've failed in the past. Forgetting the way I screwed up yesterday. Forgetting how that emotion controlled my choices. Forgetting how I lashed out in anger. Forgetting how I acted out in lust and pride to get my way. Forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I want this. I press on to each the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This beautiful life of love and joy and peace. That's what He's calling us to. Let's want it.